Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ryan Donato, another young kid drops into their lap and looks like he can play. Another one. And I think that's significant. I mean, I don't know if Ryan Donato is going to look like that the rest of the year, but if he does, he's not going to look like that the rest of the year. He had 5 shots on net, 3 points. He's not going to do that every night. If he's 80% of what he was last night, 80%, is he on your second line next to David Krejci?
Yep.
And have you just upgraded Jake DeBrusk on your second line?
Maybe. Either DeBrusk or Heinen, one of those guys. All 3 of them can't play.
But on that line, because, you know, going into the playoffs, I thought their biggest issue was second line, you know, their second line. Their first line is one of the best in hockey, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak. Their third and fourth lines have been fabulous. It's that Krejci line, you know, especially before the trade deadline. Well, now you got Rick Nash skating on the right side of Krejci. And I ask you, is Ryan Donato a better fit up there than Jake DeBrusk?
Stylistically, yes. And, you know, it looked like he and Krejci had a little bit of chemistry there, too.
Stylistically, he is. Ryan Donato is a shooter, man. Shooter Magruder. And he'll sit there in the face-off circle. He'll sit there in the slot. He'll get low. The little kid plays right in front of the net.
I mean, he did that more than once last night. He gets right in front of the net and starts hacking away in there.
Which is what Krejci needs, which is where you have to go to score your goals in the NHL nowadays. And not enough guys do it. First game, 22 years old, right out of the Harvard dorms. And he goes right to the front of the net all night long.
Right out of the Hong Kong.
I mean, seriously. What a great story. He still lives at the Harvard dorms.
Yeah.
He's still living at the dorms.
He had 3 points and go have a bowl.
He had to miss practice today in St. Louis because he was at class.
Scorpion Bowl.
Not making that up.
Yeah, literally. That Bruce Cassidy announced it because he was asked, hey, where's Ryan Donato? Well, he had class today.
He's at class.
He's going to fly in tonight.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah, if I were him, I'd walk into class today after my 3-point game. I'd give the professor the finger and walk out is what I would do. Go pound sand, pal. I'm playing in the league. Bye-bye, Harvard.
But anyway, it's just an amazing story. But yet another young kid that can play. And if he, again, I'm not expecting every night like that. I mean, that was, he should have had 5 points. The first scoring chance he had might have been the best. He's right on the goal line, and he couldn't lift it over Korpisalo's pads. That should have been a goal, and they had a breakaway later in the second. He could have had 5 points last night. And then there was a 3-on-1 in the first period where he had all day long, and he decided to pass it clear across the ice to Krejci instead of still going to the net. Remember
and
this play?
Krejci couldn't handle it and went to the boards.
Krejci never would have thought he was coming his way. So,
I remember the play.
Like, for as much as Donato did last night, he left a bunch of points on the board. So I'm not telling he's going to be that every night. If he's 80% of that, is he better on Krejci's left wing than Jake DeBrusk? And you've just upgraded now you've got Donato, Krejci, and Nash. And is that even better than what you had yesterday?
I mean, Don Sweeney, they can't go wrong right now. It's unbelievable.
Okay, so there's that. There's the Marchand non-call in overtime, if you care about that, if maybe you had money on the game. Or you just don't like the injustice of it all. We can discuss that. All the NFL stuff. And again, Maz is breaking news on Kyrie Irving and his knee. May need to have the screws removed from the knee, which would mean maybe he's out for the year. So we'll see how that develops over the course of the hour with your calls. John in Providence, what do you got for us?
I believe it was Maz that was saying about Carlo being crappy. To be honest, Kyle should be sitting up on the ninth floor. They should bring up Chris Breen. He's a big body. He's good for Chara's spot.
No one knows who that is, John.
Chris Breen is a defenseman down in Providence. He's been doing a pretty good year this year.
So, John, due respect, they don't believe in him because they wouldn't have traded for Nick Holden otherwise. And didn't they bring up Postma recently as well?
Yeah, today. Yeah.
All right, so this kid's way down the depth chart. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about the 10th guy in the depth chart in Providence. I'm not.
Well, no, look, and ultimately, they can just bump Carlo if it's bad enough and they don't want him to play in the postseason. They can play Miller, McQuaid, Krug, Holden, and McAvoy and Chara. That's okay. It. There's your 6.
So that to me is pertinent. That Carlo's been an everyday guy for you for 2 years, but he's had some fits and starts. He had a rough night last night, a couple bad giveaways. One that was really bad on the first goal. And I don't know if he's fallen out of favor. He hasn't with me. I think he's a young player who has his ups and downs. I still like him. I like him going forward. But if you don't want him in the lineup, Maz just had it. You move Kevin Miller or Adam McQuaid back up, you know, to that second pair with Krug, and then you play Holden and the other guy on the third pair, and you've got a nice veteran decor there. Now, I don't know if you want Gretzlick in there or not. He gives you a little more offense than those guys that I just mentioned. But If you go Chara, McAvoy, Kevin Miller, Krug, McQuaid, Krug, and then Kevin Miller, Holden, like, it's that first pair is very good, and the other two are representative. I'll put it to you like that anyway.
They're in a pretty good spot overall when it gets to their D in terms of depth, right? I mean, they got bodies. I totally forgot about Grizzlick until you mentioned him. That's eight.
Yeah.
That's eight guys. They're in good shape there.
Depth-wise.
Depth-wise, right.
How many great D? You know, I don't think they have a true number three. I'll put it to you like that. I don't think any guy that they have you'd say is a good third pair, you know, good second pairing defenseman, a solid number three or number four. I think all those guys right now are suited to third pairing duty. So you don't have anyone great, but they're all NHL defensemen. You know, it's not like you're playing a guy that doesn't belong. Rick on Cape Cod on the catch rule. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, you're absolutely right, man. If you can't quickly hold on to the ball and hit the ground, then that's it. It's over.
I'm with you.
You know?
I'm with you. Hang on to the ball when you hit the ground. I mean, I believe that. And Rick, what's even worse is if you try and write a rule that's somewhere in between, where sometimes if the ball comes loose, it's a catch, but sometimes not, it's going to be a total cluster. I'm telling you, it's going to be a total cluster next year if they go through with this.
Absolutely. And also, you want they should get rid of the slow-mo. That's just crap. You know, fast motion, that's it. That's the play.
Okay, well, that horse is up the barn. But this is another thing. So in these rules, they are for better or, you know, for all intents and purposes, I mean to say, as Maz said, attempting to scale back replay.
Yeah, that's what they're doing with this rule. They're trying to say, if we can't see it in real time or it's, you know, we have a reason to review the juggle, that the replay's not going to allow us to say the guy didn't have possession.
Well, no, again, so the replay standard for overturning an on-field ruling of a catch, this doesn't apply to other things. I guess this is only for the catch. But the replay standard for overturning an on-field ruling of a catch will be indisputable video evidence rather than clear and obvious, which is what they used last year. Which, again, I shake my head every time. So they're saying that indisputable is a harder standard than clear and obvious. But is it?
No. It's the same thing.
Are they really saying the same thing a different way?
Yeah, this is like, again, it feels like there were 20 lawyers sitting in the room saying, nope, that's incorrect. Nope, can't use that word. Can clear and obvious is not proper. We need indisputable. Like, so you're looking at it going, what?
Okay, so as if we haven't given you enough today, we have breaking news for you here.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it is breaking Patriots news, courtesy of Mike Reese, covers the team for ESPN Boston, who just tweeted that special teams captain Matthew Slater is returning to the Patriots on a two-year deal per source.
Oh, good. Great. I feel much better now, don't you?
I mean, they have nailed all these special teams guys, haven't they?
They have the kickoff returns and the gunner and the punt stuff all nailed down.
Bolden's back. King's back. Yeah. This guy's back.
Well, we can do gunner talk.
Nate Ebner. Don't forget Nate Ebner.
Ebner's back. Cordero Patterson is the gunner on the punt team and the return man.
Awesome. We should have done more gunner talk in July.
Seriously, though. Teams? Loaded.
I'm going to be a wise guy right now just because I feel like it. But before I am, let me just say, I like Matt Slater. I think he's...
Sure. No, that's a guy they should keep.
A great pro, a great player. He should be a wall-to-wall Patriot, as I said yesterday. He's a lot of what you do right, and I honestly believe that. Like, I'm not just saying that. I'm glad he's back. He's a good Patriot. He's a good guy to like and root for, and he's been a part of their success, and he is excellent. I mean, he is. And I play very little, you know, do special teams on your own time, but even me, I can watch, and Matthew Slater is almost always the first guy down there.
But,
however,
here it comes.
Can I ask you why they're so effing obsessed with special teams?
I don't know.
But let me just tell you why I wonder that. Because they've told me for years and years and years, every time you ask them about anything, they pretty much always say, Bill does. Well, it just comes down to points. It's points. So it doesn't matter what we are. It doesn't matter what our blitz numbers are. It matters how many points we allow.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what our rushing yards are. It's all about points. And it mm-hmm. doesn't matter how many first downs we give up. It's all about points. And time of possession doesn't matter. It's all about points. So why are they so horny about these special team stats when they were, I was just trying to look it up, first in the league in scoring last year. Sorry, second in the league in scoring. Second in the league. The Rams were first. You were second. You were second in the league in scoring. With, I think, one of the worst kick return teams in the league. I think you ranked near the bottom of the league in kick returns. But to which, just using their logic, you would say, well, they need to improve kick returns. To which I would say, why? They finish top three in the league in scoring every single year. So it doesn't matter whether they start on the 13, the 23, or the 33.
Right. Offensively, it doesn't matter. What about the other side of it in terms of the, you know, minimizing where the opponent starts from?
Okay, so the Gunner, as I said yesterday, I feel the punt teams are far more important than the kick teams. So I care more about punt returners than kick returners and more about gunners than kickoff guys. So really, this is more a thing for, I'm sort of back to Cordero Patterson. So you sucked last year on kickoffs. What does it matter? You were second in the league in points. I thought it was all about points.
Well, it's to ease the pressure on the quarterback, Brian Hoyer, who, of course, will be starting 2018. You're welcome.
And even defensively.
The Slater thing, though, real quick, I do think it's important in that if he left, I think that could further speak to the growing concern about what's going on behind the scenes there and the culture.
I agree.
Okay, so flush that out a little.
I'm with you, Murray.
Because I think that's important.
Well, he has been the consummate patriot. You know, you were just saying, well, that's the one guy you look at when you heard that he was sniffing around with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think most people were like, ooh.
Even if you were right, bad sign.
Yeah, like, okay, you're going to possibly lose Slater, too. This is the one guy that essentially, it's almost like, you know, another Belichick son. You're going to lose him? Well, maybe there really is some bad stuff going on there behind the scenes, and people want out, and that's, you know, part of this mass exodus here. Solder's gone, Amendola's gone, all these guys that have been consummate patriots, and you lose Matt Slater, too? I think that would have potentially been a big red flag.
But again, they always tell me it's about points. Bill does, you do. Anytime there's any sort of debate about a facet of the game that they're not doing well, whether it's, look at the points. Look at the points. You were second in the league in points for, you were fifth in the league in points against. Why are you so worried about covering the punt?
Yeah, where were they in points allowed? How did that manifest in the Super Bowl?
I'm just telling you.
No, I'm just busting chops.
Where do they rank in points, Felger? They were fifth in the league in points allowed.
Yeah.
Fifth.
Because Bill uses that argument when he gives up a lot of yardage. That's what he does. And he knows that he's got a vulnerability, and he's full of crap. That's what I think. Now, look, the special teams thing, I think that, you know, they're taking it to an extreme. I do agree with Murray, though, about Slater. You know, that guy is a...
It would have been a bad sign if he had left you for the Steelers.
That guy was a patriot.
Of all teams.
Yeah, no, it would have been. Just like it's a bad sign that Amendola left. Slater would have been right along those lines. That guy should be a patriot.
Absolutely. You lose him. Like, he is a fabric culture guy. Right, he is a patriot in the. He was a patriot in the womb, for crying out loud. You can't let, if that guy leaves you, that's a bad sign.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger, I like anti-competitive
and Mass.
Stupid, they're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bruins banking ahead. Onside is Marchand to the left circle. Cuts out in front. Backhand. Grabbed by Dubois. Corpusello made the save. The Bruins bench is up in arms.
I mean, Marchand does everything. He protects the puck coming to the net. Dubois reaches around him with his free hand. Stick hand and free hand, and he grabs him. That should be a penalty shot.
Wow.
Oh, he got away with one there. I mean, that's a penalty just about every time. He's got the stick in one hand. He reaches around Marchand with the stick in his hand. One hand on it.
That's obstruction.
Maz, are you upset that it was not called?
Nope.
Why?
Because I like the 3-on-3, and I don't want a 3-on-3 overtime game decided by a penalty shot or a 4-on-3 power play. I've seen it happen to the Bruins, and as soon as it happens, you know they're going to lose. So, like, I would rather, you know,
yes, because there's rules, and they still have to be applied, even if it's 3-on-3, Mass.
Yeah, I understand that. Again, I like the 3-on-3 overtime. I like the up-and-down open nature of it, and someone scoring a real goal to win. I like that. And so I'm glad they didn't call it last night. I wanted to see the game play out.
You want the NHL to turn into pond hockey, essentially.
In overtime, during the regular season? Yeah, I do. I do. I love it. I love the pond hockey. I think it's awesome. That 3-on-3 is one of the best things they've done to overtime. And as soon as they put someone in the box, it screws it up.
Okay. It took me 3 years. Every once in a while, I'll bump into someone that's a fan of the show. How do you stand working with those guys? I'm always like, really? Is their reputation that bad? But now I get it. With this, now I get it.
Oh, I could have told you that before you took the job, Murray.
So I think there should have been a call, too. I'm not bothered by it for a different reason, and that is I like it when fakers and floppers get theirs. It's called karma. And Marchand has faked and flopped for years. He's already been fined this year for it by the NHL, which means he's already been contacted by the league at least twice, maybe more, for embellishment this year. And when embellishers don't get the call, I enjoy it because what goes around comes around.
Yeah, I enjoy karma, too, especially if it's just a ticky-tack call. The only thing that was missing from this was the belly-to-back suplex. The guy's hand was off his stick because he's, nope, not letting you. I'm going to hold you, Marchand. No scoring for you. I'm holding you. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. That's a penalty.
Okay, that's one of the things we've been talking about today. Scotty and Malden, what do you got, Scotty?
Oh, I was at the game, and I was watching that, and it was so emphatic that why that guy, the ref, without being belligerent, I mean, Marshawn has that reputation. Is that going to hold them back for the rest of the year? Great show, and I'll sign off from there. Thank you, guys.
Okay, Scotty, not sure what you said there. Except it was a really bad non-call. But you have to take into account who that was, Murray.
I know.
And again, you don't think that exists in all sports? When Terrell Suggs hits a quarterback in a questionable fashion, you don't think he's more likely to get a flag? And that's sort of earned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I'm just trying to come up with examples. If
this one was blatant, though.
If Draymond Green's knee or leg sorts of gets up into a guy's privates or his midsection, and the ref calls it, errs on the side of he was doing, is that, in, you know.
Yeah, the reputation is earned.
Okay, and a guy that fakes and flops, and a guy that, if Marcus Smart doesn't get a call, when Marcus Smart doesn't get a call, I sit back and go, do not give that guy the call, even if he was really fouled. How many times does a ref have to sit there and say, the last time I did this, Marcus, I gave you the call, and we lost it on replay, and the guy never touched you, so you don't get it this time. And I think that that's justice. That is karma coming back. And I feel the same way about Marchand because he's that guy too.
Yeah, but that last night was just so egregious that it's just, I mean, come on. It's
blatant. How do you miss that from every angle that you look at it, especially in replay?
I told you, should have been two penalties. He hooked him and he held him. He might have even grabbed his package.
Let's grab a quick Red Sox thought here. Alan in Florida. Hi, Alan.
Hi. Thank God for you, Murray. Jesus, I never heard of anything. But anyway, before I talk about a little baseball, I don't know if you guys even realize the sport exists anymore. Maz, were you just trying to be a little humorous? A Harvard guy, you'd go in with a professor. I'd take a Harvard education over playing in the NHL like any day of my life. And you know what? He'll earn a lot more money with that little degree than if he plays in the NHL for the next 10 years.
It was a joke, Alan.
Okay, I understand that. That's what I said, as long as it was humorous. Are you guys ever going to talk? I mean, there's so much going on now. You know, the season's opening in 9 days. And
so, Alan,
Tom Brady. I mean, it's
on
absurd.
The Red Sox, Alan. What do you think's the lead story?
Okay, well, I think David Price pitching today, because I think he's the key, is a lead story. I think the idea that if they knew, which the whole world knew we were going to end up getting J.D. Martinez, why would you have signed Moreland? Because I'd rather have Sam Travis on the team. I mean, they put themselves with a little dilemma there, and what are they going to do with Swihart? Who's going to be the fifth starter?
How much is Moreland making?
6.5, I think it is.
Isn't that a little expensive for a bench player?
Yep.
Isn't that a lot expensive for a bench player?
Yep. And I'll tell you why he's here. There's only one reason he's here.
In case Hanley can't make it?
Well, that, and also because it wouldn't surprise me if they use him as a defensive replacement in late innings. Their infield defense could really suck.
Again, $6.5 million for a pinch hitter and defensive replacement.
So this is the beauty of being a big market team.
Okay? Well, but you know what?
Not unprecedented for them.
But they're up against that Supermax thing?
Yeah, the Supermax.
They're up against that super-duper luxury tax deal?
Yeah.
Where, you know, Gammons has said they can't make any moves unless they shed. That kills your flexibility in terms of adding an arm or something you might really need.
Okay, so then where it comes to it, you move them. During the season, someone would take Mitch Moreland for $6.5 million. It's not a horrible contract. And so, look, I just think, Alan, I mean, I love baseball. You know that. I mean, I love following that team. I have for my entire life. But right now, there's nothing there. So Chris Sale get named the opening day starter today, as everyone expected. What's the real news there? If it were me?
To me, I didn't find it that. I didn't think that was an automatic.
I did.
So last year was Porcello, right?
I think you're right, actually.
Yeah, he's coming off the side.
Yeah.
So last year it was Porcello. Price has been here longer, and I just know the way baseball works. The fracata, the seniority, right? They're just so hyper-obsessed with seniority. It's not Porcello. So Price has the most seniority, and he makes the most.
Okay, but who was their best pitcher last year?
And it's Price's team, for better or for worse. I would not have been surprised at all if it were Price. And in fact, didn't you say earlier that they should have made a Price?
Yes, but for different reasons. I mean, I expected them.
Well, to try and pump them up. And
yes,
like,
I thought it would have been a good idea. Now, look, I expected Sale, but I said if I were them, I'd give it to Price. It's a great opportunity for Cora to sort of get Price engaged.
Right.
And you know what? Also, go to Sale ahead of time and talk to him about it so that Sale doesn't get offended. And in fact, you sort of create this little bond and the idea with Sale that he was involved in the decision, and you build some trust in the whole fabric of the team. You start to set something there. You Corey, you go to Sale and say, hey, look, you're the guy. Okay, you're the guy. But I want to give Price the ball because I think it would mean something to him, and we need him on board if we're going to go where we want to go. We need you guys both if we're going to be in October, and we're going to win in October. So let's get David on board now.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How you doing on Twitter, Maz? Anyone shoot it down?
Not yet.
Anyone dispute it?
Nope. It's been retweeted a bunch. People have commented on it, but I haven't seen anybody shoot it down.
Poke yet. Holes in it? Anyone say go back to, you know, baseball? You know, you're just a shock jock, etc. Anything like that?
Not that I've seen, no.
Okay, so it's...
I would like to think my tone on this one suggested that I was serious. And so, again, what I will tell people is that Kyrie Irving, when he hurt his knee in the finals in 2015, broke his kneecap, had surgery, and had screws and wiring inserted into his knee to hold that kneecap together. Okay, that's how the surgery is done. And those screws, sooner or later, have to come out. And I think, now they've described the problem he's had in his knee this year. I think they've called it tendonitis, but I think it's really related to the screws in his knee. Irving has indicated that at some point he's going to have a surgery, go back in there to, I don't know if he has said clean it up or what have you, but the bottom line is he's got to get the screws out. That's what it's about. He's got to get the screws out. And my understanding is that he is seeking a second opinion and could have one as soon as tomorrow, the next day, and the next day or two, and that then they will have a better understanding of what's going in there, what's going on there, rather, and what the course of action is. Now, they could just continue to manage it. He's missed a bunch of games. Maybe they'll do that and see if he can play in the postseason. I would imagine that that is plan A. Why don't you want the guy to play? Of course they do. They want to play. He wants to play. But the knee is flaring up. Clearly, this is now four games that he's missed, and if they have to go in and take those screws out, if they have to perform that procedure now, he's going to be done pretty much for the year. That'll be it. So this is why I think they are approaching it cautiously.
And he's going to see a specialist tomorrow on this?
So I don't know if it's a specialist, but it's a second opinion. It's a second opinion.
And it's possible that he could get news this week that says screws are coming out, you're done.
I guess, yeah. I mean, again, I can't give you every detail on it. All I know is that he's getting a second opinion on it. The problem is related to the screws in the kneecap. They have to come out of there. And if they have to go in and take them out, it's a common procedure. It's not anything extraordinary. But the process will render him immobile, effectively, for a series of weeks or months that'll take him out of the rest of the season and the playoffs.
Okay. So there's that. You can weigh in on that or whatever you want. Anything we've hit on so far today. Lenny in Fall River on the Bees. Hi, Lenny.
Yeah, what's going on, Felger? What's up, Maz?
What do you got, Len?
At the game last night, right down in Lowe's 15, before I hit on Marchand, I'll tell you what, that kid, Donato, was awesome to see him in his first game, and it was a sick gold for his first one in the National. So that was awesome to see. I think he's going to fit right in with the rest of the young studs we got. But on Marchand, are you kidding me? Hooking, holding, interference, molestation, he was all over him. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's his reputation. That's why he didn't get the call. But when it's that blatant, you got to make the call.
I'll tell you, it's rare. When you're defending in the NHL and your hand comes off your stick, it's like an automatic.
No, I'm telling you, there was more than one penalty there.
It's the easiest call that they make. When your hand comes off your stick and you grab them, it's automatically a hold and interference. It's just automatic.
I mean, it's like turning a receiver in the NFL in the secondary, right? Like, once you turn him
yes,
with that hand.
That's right.
That's PI. This is holding.
But let me ask you, Bruins fans, let me phrase it and let me put it in a context that you could understand. PK Subban is in a little scuffle with the guy in the corner, and the guy gives him a tiny little headbutt. He gives him a not a tiny little headbutt, gives him a headbutt. And Subban reacts and goes back and falls backwards, and he doesn't get the call. Are you upset? Or do you say, well, PK, when you go down half the time like you're taking the nasty plunge, can you blame it or blame the ref? that he doesn't take the cheese on everyone? Can you blame him for not taking the banana in the tailpipe? Even though this time the banana was firmly inserted into the tailpipe? You'd say,
no, that was an unripe banana.
No, you would say, PK, sometimes what goes around comes around, and you get what you deserve. And to me, that's what it is with Marchand.
Yeah, but that's also fan bias is going to take place there, and most Bruins
it's
fans
not fan bias. Well, it is. So I'm doing that so you can look at it from the other side, which is when a flopper doesn't get the call, you know, usually we say, good, he sort of got what he deserved.
Yeah, but so by you saying it, like, it's like, okay, I know you're a fan of the team, and you like Brad Marchand's game for the most part outside of, you know,
I don't like flopping.
The dirtbagginess. But do you think he's going to, like, learn from this? Like, I don't understand, getting the call. Like, what the...
Embellishers?
There's nothing beneficial about this.
When Marcus Smart, P.K. Subban, Brad Marchand, just name an embellisher. A guy who embellishes and fakes and flops.
Okay, how about you?
When that person doesn't get the call, I don't have any sympathy for him. Just like no one has any sympathy for me when I miss.
It's the second, non-call, but a second move by an official in less than a week that's affected this team, the other being the match penalty against Backes against Florida late last week, that it's like, what are we doing here? I don't think that there's someone out to get the Bruins, but they've gotten hosed here a couple of times recently, and it's pissed me off, and people are right to be pissed.
Rick in Medford on the Bees. Go, Rick.
Yeah, the officiating's been bad the last few games, but, Mike, I'm with you. Marchand, he definitely plays on the edge, and that stuff, evens itself out, and I think last night's a perfect example of that. But when you look at this roster and the production that they're putting forward, you know, everybody's injured. They still were able to put up 4 goals last night. And then you look back to the fall, and you didn't know half the people on this roster. It's crazy to think about how deep the Bruins got seemingly overnight. And just to what you said earlier, Maz, I would just pump the brakes on giving Sweeney and Neely too much praise right now, because I think a lot of the guys who are producing were out of that first or the last draft class that Chiarelli was responsible for in 14, yep. Namely Donato and Donato and Pastrnak and Heinen and guys like that.
Right, yeah. No, Pastrnak, Donato, Heinen, and I'm missing one.
Bjork.
Okay.
So, their first four, they had 5 picks in that draft. Okay, first, second, fourth, fifth, and seventh rounds. And their first 4 picks were Pastrnak, Donato, Heinen, and Bjork.
Okay, I can give the Bruins partial credit for a guy like Heinen and a guy like Pastrnak, because those guys came to the system pretty soon, pretty early, and they were coached by Cassidy and developed by Sweeney, who was the minor league director and all of this. And so they got in the Bruins system. I can at least give the Bruins credit for developing those players. I cannot give the current Bruins regime credit for anything on Ryan Donato, because he was drafted by Chiarelli and developed by his dad at Harvard. So Harvard developed him, and Chiarelli drafted him. This one just fell in Sweeney's lap. God bless America. But he got him. And Bjork is roughly the same. Bjork was at Notre Dame this whole time. So it's not like the Bruins even developed these guys. But their depth is getting scary up front. Just the number of young guys that they have. Again, on D, I'm not so sure. But in the forward group, they've got a lot of good young players. And here's another one right out of the sky into their lap who might be just drop right in their lap and go on play on their second line and on their second power play.
So think of it in these terms, because you like them all. And again, Donato's one game, but you like him. You like DeBrusk, and I think he's played better here at the end of the year than he has all year long. Heinen went through a little rut there, but overall, Heinen's had a good year. One of those guys is going to have to sit.
Well, so look, your extra forwards, if everyone's healthy, your extra forwards are going to be Gianta, Wingles, or, as Maz just said, one of Heinen, DeBrusk, or Donato. Like, they all belong in the league. They can all play. They're all going to contribute to you. Like, there's no true stiff among any of them.
No, and I'll tell you, I love the direction they've taken this whole thing. Because historically, the Bruins have been dump and chase, fight for the puck, win the battles, get the dirty, ugly goals, and meanwhile, the teams with the skill always end up beating them late in the playoffs. It gets them a certain point, and then they don't have enough skill or speed or talent to win.
No. Last night was stunning how much skill they were showing.
Ridiculous.
Without McAvoy, Bergeron, Backes, Nash, Chara, etc. Like, they're about 5 or 6 of their best players.
It was great to watch. It really was. It was great to watch.
So that's what they're developing down there. Mike in Duxbury on the Kyrie Irving injury. What do you think, Mike?
You're Mike McCarthy from Duxbury?
Yes, Mike McCarthy. Go ahead, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I actually broke both my kneecaps.
Oh, here we go.
And, I don't know what Kyrie's total injury is, but I had four screws in each kneecap, and I had them both wired.
Were you the point guard or the shooting guard?
Yeah, I was just a regular person.
This is what I'm trying to say. It's you know, even a little bit different.
Right, right. You know, so I don't know, you know, how the screws are put in his knee, but I believe when they take the screws out, it puts, like, naked holes in your knee that have to heal. So it's like having a kind of like a broken kneecap, but it's not fractured.
Okay, Michael, thank you for the call and the update on your knee.
I think they used an 18-volt cordless DeWalt screw gun.
We're not doing this. We have a long-standing policy on this program. We don't talk about your knee. We talk about Kyrie's knee.
I mean, it could have been Black & Decker, maybe Milwaukee or Makita, one of those screw guns, but I think that's what it was.
Would you stop? I've been saving this for the end because I don't know if I can take it in the middle of the show. Bob,
like a 1/8 drill
Bob
bit.
And Easton, go ahead, Bob. What do you got?
Kick them when they're up. Kick them when they're down. Kick them when they're up. You kick them all around. You know, it doesn't matter with the Patriots. I'm tired of the negativity against this team. No matter what they do, it's all wrong. You know, they've lost players like this over the last 18 years, and all of a sudden, it's a big deal. When Felger and Maz, I figured you two, having the number one show, would understand that the New England Patriots are like the planet Earth when it comes to NFL. They have three superpowers, Kraft, Belichick, and Brady, okay? All the players that have left this team, your Amendolas, your Lewis's, your Butler's, they're all great, or they all got more money because of what Brady and Belichick were able to do in Kraft at some point. So, do you really think anything is any different this year?
Yeah, I think Amendola's going to hurt. I don't know, maybe I'm overrating it, Bob, but I think the Amendola one's really going to hurt you.
Hold on a second, Felger. Sometimes I think you're a smart guy. Do you think the Patriots actually held this guy longer than they actually held on to him? And I grant that he did take, you know,
He took massive cuts.
But you know what? He should have, because he was hurt
okay.
most of the time.
That's fine. I'm not assessing blame. I'm just telling
but
you. I think you're
gonna
miss
him because Walker's coming back. You're... And you know what? Like receivers, like running backs, Felger. You know this, Lewis. They're all a dime a dozen. And here's a question for you: who was a bigger loss, Asante Samuel or Malcolm Butler?
Samuel.
Exactly. So, and they've lost. So my point is.
Yeah, I'm not bemoaning Malcolm Butler.
You know what it is? You're turning it to TMZ. That's the problem.
TMZ's pretty good, Bob.
That's your problem.
Pretty successful operation there. I don't know if you've seen TMZ recently.
We've been that for about 5 or 6 years.
They do pretty well.
Oh, we're way worse than TMZ. We're totally gone.
By the way, Shams has confirmed our speculation about Kyrie Irving.
Shams Charania of Yahoo Sports just tweeted, with lack of progress on his ailing left knee, Celtics all-star Kyrie Irving plans to travel for a second opinion later this week, league sources tell Yahoo.
Okay, so there you go.
Okay, so again, tell me who the source is.
Shams Charania of Yahoo Sports.
Okay, so is that like the new Woj?
He is the new Woj, yeah.
He's the Yahoo Woj.
He replaced Woj at Yahoo.
Okay, so that's a major...
NBA type.
That's a major cosign, Maz, on your report.
Yes.
Did he credit your report first? Did he say, as per Tony Maserati?
No, but I wish he would.
He did not, though.
Yeah, once you tweet that guy Sham and tell him his tweet is a sham.
Right.
And that he owes me a retweet.
Thank you.
Dan Lifshatz, Dan the Angry Call Screener, has already done that for you, Tony.
Thank you, Dan.
Oh,
get on that.
Boy, Dan.
Get on that.
Boy.
As first reported here by Tony Maz on the Felger and Maz program on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Kyrie Irving going for a second opinion on his knee, may need to have his screws removed from his knee. If that's the case, he could be done for the year. Likely will be done for the year.
We don't often break news on this show. We got to tout that.
And I am officially at Big Jim Murray, DEFCON 1.
Okay. Well, you should be. It's over. Forget about worrying. Just see you next year. If he's done, you're done. It's like, I mean, that's not even, it's a very short conversation.
Yeah, Felger, I don't know. I like Rozier.
Don't start with this. Don't start with that. No, that's story over, man.
And then they can't win without Tice either.
Okay, so make sure. Would you get Lifshatz? Can Lifshatz be our official patrolman to sort of make sure that
he does this already.
He does?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Twitter bullying is what you'd like him to do? Yeah,
JYD, Junkyard Dan.
No, I just want him to make sure.
He's quite aggressive with these Twitter people.
That the proper people get the proper credit. And in that case, that's Maz.
He's the Twitter police. He's the new Twitter police.
Final word, come join next.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Blend force drama to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Maz.
Who cares?
Felger and Maz. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, and that's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
No one.
So just one piece of sound in the final word today, in case you guys missed this. It was around 11:30-ish this morning on Zoe and Beetle, and when they provided an update, Mike, to your paranoid rant recently about this Chinese space station crashing to Earth, Beetle wants it to land on a certain place.
Hey, above Felger satellite, is that thing coming down yet? They got anything up? Anything updated on that?
It's coming down. Yeah, you just don't know where.
Right. Anywhere Jace between says the windows in April or something.
I hope it lands on his house.
Yeah, the new one.
Right square on his house.
Yeah.
Boom. Puts a big crater in the earth in Wellesley. Boom. Ah, he deserves it for all the freaking out he's done over that thing. It's going to land in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Relax, would you? Where's it going to land? Where's it going to land, though? Oh, guy's worried about the asteroids, too.
Imagine that thing does hit land.
Let me tell you something, Mike. Chill out. If that asteroid's coming down to Earth, you better just hope it lands on your house. I'm hoping it lands on mine. I'm hoping I get taken out first. I don't want to be here for the meltdown.
Yeah, you don't want to be here for the...
I don't want to be here for that.
You don't want to be here for the real ash days.
I hope it's quick and painless.
See those movies?
I hope I'm at the bottom of the crater, underneath the asteroid.
Tidal waves.
Gone.
Oh, tidal waves bigger than the Statue of Liberty.
I want to be the first to go. Because we are not saving the planet. I want to be the first one checking out. Bye-bye. Spend your days worrying about that you can't blow up the rock on its way to Earth. No kidding, you can't blow it up. We're cooked. Accept it. Hope you die early. That's what you should be hoping for.
All right, that one point he makes about we're not blown out of the sky. Absolutely right, Beetle. No crap. We're not blowing that thing out of the sky.
I think that's in play.
But it's just a personal preference. I don't want to be the first to go. I won't be the last to go.
Well, I'm telling you, if it's an apocalyptic-sized asteroid, if that's the kind of thing we're talking about, walk toward the light.
No. I want to hold out as long. I don't want to be the last. I want to be the fourth to last. I want my family. I want me and my kids and my wife. And then I'll go so fourth to last.
So, but you would have me perish before you?
You bet. Heartbeat. And the rest of you. No, I want to be the last. I don't want to be the first to go. I want to be the last to go. And I don't care how bad it is out there. I want to survive the apocalypse for as long as it lasts.
Yeah, who do you get to tell the story to? Like, you don't get
doesn't
to...
matter. It's about just fighting for life, man.
Nah, I'm good. I'm a Beetle. I want to go like that. I don't want to go through another ice age or anything like that.
I hope it drops in Melrose.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I can think of a couple of people whose house I'd like to land on. Hold on. Ask me tomorrow. I'll give you a list.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.